Time now for our scripture readings, starting at the very beginning. Genesis, book 1, verses 1 through 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And now the New Testament reading, Romans 12, verses 9 through 18. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Bubba was having a hard time hearing, and so he did what anybody else would do. He went to his pastor, and he said, "Would you pray for me?" He said, "I'm having a hearing," and he said, "Trouble with my hearing," and he said, "I need for you to pray for me." So pastor put his hands on his ears and prayed and prayed and prayed. He prayed some more and thanked God for touching his hearing. And so at the end of the prayer, after he thanked God for it, he said to him, he said, "Bubba," I said, "how's your hearing?" He said, "I don't know. It's not till Tuesday morning." There was this guy that got bit by a dog. I'll go back to last week's. Emotionalism. A lot of people get involved in emotionalism in Christianity and religion. They look at different things and see different things happen. They become very emotional about it. And the thing that comes to my mind is our faith is built on rock solid facts that we find in the Bible, not on emotion. And that doesn't mean that we don't have emotion, but there is a separation. And it's like growing up. I grew up in a house under a roof with rules. I knew what the limits were. And if we live in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and we are involved in His ministry, it's not an emotional ride. It's not an emotional experience. But we can know our limits as far as what He would have us to do. And I'm not faulting churches that get people emotionally roused up for a display of the Holy Spirit. If that's what they want to do, that's quite all right. But our life, as we talked about the last couple weeks, is lived on a spiritual plane. It's not a roller coaster type of thing. Now, there are times that we find ourselves in the valley, and we are feeling depressed and we are feeling emotionally drained. I understand that. And there are times when we're sitting on top of the mountain and life is going great. But for the most part, for the majority of us, life is good, but there are things that we deal with as we go through it. And some of those rules growing up were, this is dinner. If you didn't eat it, you didn't eat. I didn't miss too many meals. Turn off the lights. Don't slam the door. Don't talk back to me. I heard that one more than once. And if I wanted to do something, and my mother would say, no. Well, why? Because. Boy, I hated that one. Because why? And after the first or second time, the answer was, because I said so. Been guilty of that? I think the majority of us are probably shaking our head. Or been guilty of hearing it. Linda's not shaking her head. There she is. Okay. But those were rules that we grew up with, and we understood those. And I could remember growing up in a church where ministers would say that our Christianity is not built and based on feelings. Because there are days that we feel good, there's days that we feel bad, and our faith is built on what is taken from the facts of the Bible and what the Bible says. And so the bottom line is that we have feelings, but the Holy Spirit doesn't operate in our feelings. The Holy Spirit operates in the Word of God. Emotions are like worry. More things that we worry about never come to pass. And probably for a lot of us, we can be thankful for that because we worry way too much. The same is true when you talk about emotions. You can't rely on them because they're up and down. We have a good day and our emotions are high. We have a bad day and our emotions aren't quite as high as they were the day before. There's emotion in worship. We get moved by different things that happen in a worship service. Our spirits were created by God, as our bodies were created by God. And Chip read the first couple verses out of Genesis and talked about in the beginning, God created. And I read something that it was this week, and actually read it out of Genesis, but it says, if you look at it closely, we talk about God creating the world in 6 days. But actually, he created the world in 3 days and filled it in 3 days. If you stop and take a look at that, you know, I thought, man, it's kind of interesting because, you know, we've always heard one thing, and I thought that was really quite interesting to take a look at. So there is emotion there when we see that. And things that God created for us and gave to us, he gave us a heart, which is the source of our emotions. Genesis 1, a little bit later in Genesis 26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every living and creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I wonder why he had to create creeping things. I've always wondered about that. So God created man. It's interesting that he follows it up with this verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so when he created man, he gave him a heart. He gave him emotions. He gave him feelings. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have those. I'm saying that they should not affect our spiritual life. That our spiritual life is on a plane. There are emotions with grief. There are emotions with sickness. There are emotions with the loss of someone that we love. I mean, our life is not devoid of emotion. But the Holy Spirit and his indwelling in our lives is not emotion. And so when we take a look at that and we look at the scripture and we look at what God did in the first chapter of Genesis and we look at the creation story, it's a unique plan that he had to create. He created everything and then he put man in charge over it. He said to replenish the earth. He didn't say till the earth. Until man fell. He said to replenish the earth, subdue it, work with it. And so when he says that, he uses that phrase, he says, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. That likeness is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the one, that's the Trinity that we talk about. And it's the only time in the Bible that he uses that particular expression. That's when he talked about making man in his own image. It's the only time that he ever did it. And he gave us personality. He gave us intellect. He gave us all of the things that make us up. He gave us love. He gave us the ability to love and to care for one another. And Paul said it well. He said, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And we have no idea what else is out there that God would have for us. But we know he has things and he has stuff for us to do and stuff for us to accomplish. And so we don't look at someone or we don't look at someone and think, "I'm not interested in providing some type of ministry to you or something." We talk about Linda's daughter this morning that we prayed for. I have no idea who she is. Now, there are people here that know her, but that doesn't mean that we don't pray for her. Now, I'm not emotionally involved because I don't know her. But I can know her on a spiritual plane, and I think this is what God is talking about when he's saying that our lives are not a life of emotion in the Holy Spirit. We've been taught to confess, and I thought this was interesting. We've been taught to confess our sin for salvation. I'm not sure, how old everyone else is in here. But the Bible says, but people say, confess your sin for salvation. Who can name all the sins they've committed? If you confess one, you have to confess them all. I mean, I can't. Now, there might be some people out there that can. But what that word salvation from the Greek means, the translation of it means, is from the Greek word soteria. And it's derived from the word soter, meaning savior. The word salvation communicates the thought of deliverance, safety, preservation, soundness, restoration, and healing. What the Bible says in Romans is that forgiveness is found when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Now, I know there's a verse in the Bible that says, confess your faults one to another. And those faults, if I have harmed Jim, then I go to Jim and I say, "Jim, I'm sorry for what I did." That's confessing our faults one to another. It may sound radical, but it's biblical. And I don't think Paul said anything any different anywhere else. So salvation comes from belief in our heart. So if we try to get emotionally involved in everything that we have done and we sit and think, "Man, I feel bad about what I did when I was 13 years old. If I can remember back when I was 13 years old." Or those type of things. And we get too wrapped up in what he wants for us. He said in Romans 10:9, he said, "The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Romans 10:8-9. A couple good verses to remember when we talk about what does God want us to do in this world. I grew up in a church that said you had to remember and confess everything that you've ever done. I can't remember what I did wrong yesterday. Cindy can. Thanks, Scott. But I can't. But that's not what God is saying. You're next. I'm going to talk to Helen in a minute. But that's what he's saying to us, to confess it. So emotions, if we get wrapped up in a lot of different things, then emotions can get in the middle of it. And we lose all perspective of what he's trying to tell us. We have feelings of thanksgiving. We have emotions of thanksgiving. We have emotions of praise. We have emotions of joy. We have emotions of fear. Maybe way too often that we fear, that we get concerned about things. There's many more mentioned here. Paul also wrote to the Romans. He said, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation." How can you have patience when you're going through a trial? Now, that's what he said to have. So if we understand that our spiritual life is not a life of emotion, and our presence of the Holy Spirit in a life is not a one-time emotional experience, then that's how we have that. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If at all possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as depends on me, I live peaceably with all men. Paul's talking about a lot of different emotion in those few verses there, of things that if we let them overcome us, then we become too wrapped up and we get caught up in personalities and we get caught up in bitterness and strife and those type of things. And that happened to Paul when he was traveling. We're talking this morning in class about Paul's different missionary journeys and what the purpose was and what he did, and different things along those journeys, and how, what, you know, how, was it just something that happened, and then was it kind of a full circle type thing, and some of the places that he went to were cities full of evil, and it would hit him as soon as he got there, and I'm sure that he was provoked in his spirit about what happened. And so emotions aren't bad. They just have to be tempered, and they have to be used properly. And I think Jesus gave us a good example when he threw the money changers out of the temple. If that wasn't an emotional experience, I don't know what would have been, when he went in and caught them buying and selling animals and sacrifices and threw them out. We can see, looking at the Bible, many different accounts of what Jesus went through, what the disciples went through, what Paul went through, and the miracles that they did were based on solid biblical principles. It wasn't based on emotion. It wasn't based on something that a person's high right now. Most of the miracles that were performed was when a person was down in the valley. They were in the deepest time and the deepest heartache of their life. And that's when the miracles were performed, and that's when either healing came or forgiveness or salvation came. And so we look at this and we think about it, and we look at and we wonder how all this takes place. And if we look in the book of Acts, and I would encourage you to read Acts chapter 19. There are some incredible acts and some incredible miracles that took place there. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, then we understand that it is based on doctrine. It is based on sound biblical thought. Some people, and you run into them, and the life that they live is an emotional roller coaster. Up one day, and we only probably, some of us have relatives that are that way. Up one day, down the next, up one day, and down the next. And David wrote in Psalm 23 said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For some, that is an emotional low. That's probably the most tragic time in their lives. And I remember talking to Dick Massey when Lori passed away. And my heart went out to him. That's a deep emotional time in a person's life. And it's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry. But we understand that those times pass, even though the memory remains the same. There's people have asked me, and you know, and I tell them, there's not a day goes by I don't think about my son. But I don't dwell on it because that becomes that emotion. We become that emotional woe that you get trapped in. And one of these, and I may have shared this with you, but one of these grief share videos talks about a couple that lost a daughter, and they were bitter for 17 years. Through tragic events, she was murdered. But my goodness, all that does is drag you down. And what a person has to do is take a hold of the situation and realize that the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us peace and brings about comfort and brings about relaxation and brings about patience and gives us the ability to be calm through that, because that's what the spiritual plane is. There are five things that I saw this week that I thought was kind of interesting as I read from some different authors. One of them said, never trust your feelings. We've all heard that said. Never trust how you feel. But if we can't trust what we do, we just have to be careful with the word never. Sometimes we have to trust our feelings. And sometimes we have to be led by them. I love this one. Intuition. Have you ever felt like you shouldn't do something? You do it. And then it hops up and kicks you somewhere that you really wish you'd have given it a second thought. And I shared this in class, and I thought it was interesting. Chuck Swindoll was talking about a situation when he accepted he was pastoring a church some more in Texas. And he had gotten a call from some other church that was interested in having him come and be their pastor. And so they went through the interview process, and his one criteria was it was always a unanimous vote. And if it was a unanimous vote, then he would go. Unanimous vote, and so they accepted the pastorate. And he said, as soon as he got in the car to drive home, he started feeling uneasy about it. Did I make the right decision? Well, what about, we got to sell our house. We got to do this. We got to do that. And he said, the more he thought about it, the more uneasy he felt. And so, anyway, he just made that decision. He said, after praying about it, because he said, I might as well pray because I couldn't sleep that night. And he said, I picked up the phone the next morning and called the chairman of the board and said, I'm withdrawing my name. And they said, you can't, you've already accepted. He said, I just unaccepted. But it was intuition that told him. And so I think, you know, when we look at that, we need to follow wisdom and we need to follow discernment in what we should do. And there are some people who say, well, how do I find that? And I'm not a big believer that you can just lay the Bible down and open it up and there's that scripture. Sometimes you've got to search it out. It would be easy if it would be. Or it would be easy if, you know, the Lord put a roadblock there and said no. Or you go out and your car won't start. Or something. But it's sometimes not that easy to discern that. Experience proves nothing. Sometimes we think we ought to move toward a plan. We lay out the plan. We take steps toward it. then we realize that we've made the wrong decision. We've all done that. I've done that. I'll probably do it again. Experience is the best teacher. I love this one. Guided experience is the best teacher. Find counsel with someone that's experienced, if there are problems, if there are issues, if you need help, if you need some guidance. And then the last one, let your conscience be your guide. That's great if you've got a good conscience. But if you've got a bad conscience, if you don't want to let your conscience be your guide, it's the last thing in the world you want to do. You got to go back to find that wise counsel that can help a person that. The Bible says Jesus wept. That's an emotion. But what's the next thing that Jesus did after he wept? He raised Lazarus from the dead. So there is a place for emotion. But he didn't raise Lazarus from the dead because of the emotion of weeping. He raised Lazarus from the dead because the Word of God said that. And that was a miracle that you only find when you live on a spiritual plane. You live on an even keel. You don't get overly excited about certain things. God gave each of us, in closing, a mind to use. We should use it to study and understand the Scriptures. Find out what He says in here for us. Find out what He's got to say. He gave us a will. He gave us a will to obey Him. Now, we all have that free will, that we can make a choice to obey or disobey, but the initial giving of a will to a human being was to make the right decision. And He gave us emotions, and He said it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to do things. It's okay to cry. I tell people in grief, don't worry about it. I talked to somebody a couple months ago, and they were, you know, sad over the loss of a loved one. And I said, it's okay to cry. Because that's one way of showing, number one, that the emotion, but it's another way of healing. And so we have to do that. So the life of the Holy Spirit is one that's on an even keel. It's not up and down. We're going to talk next week about we have the power because of the Holy Spirit. And that'll end the series on the Holy Spirit. But I want to share that. I've started working on it. I've been kind of excited about that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. We are thankful, Father, for Your blessings in our lives. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit and what He means. So, Lord, help us to seek out Your word and Your way to be led by the Holy Spirit. In Your name we pray. Amen. In the July and August, I want to do something a little bit different on the first Sunday of the month. We're going to put a blank piece of paper in the bulletins over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And I want you to write questions down. And we're going to do a question and answer session to do something a little bit different. If there's something on your mind about heaven, about hell, about whatever, write it down, and we'll have some basket, or, you know, we're big on baskets, some basket to stick it in on your way out. But want to do something like that, just to change the pace up a little bit.